Please open in your Bibles with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 can be found on page 578 of your pew Bibles. And we'll be reading the entire psalm. Psalm 46. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamot, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the hearts of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in her midst. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us a day where you tell us to cease from our labors. A day where we can be still. A day where we can calm our hearts. Lord, put away the busyness of this world and the cares of our lives, and to sit submissive under your word and be reminded of who you are and your great love for us. Father, bless us with your word now. Father, that we would indeed rest only in you as our stronghold. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just recently, the kids and I were looking through a bunch of old pictures on the computer. It was pretty fun. There was pictures from when I was a boy and pictures from when I was in the Navy, and the kids were laughing at some of these pictures. They had never seen their dad in uniform. And then there were pictures from when we were on when I was on deployment in 2007. And it was neat. One of the places that I had been to that I had almost completely forgotten about until that time was this impressive city called Monaco. Monaco is one of the world's smallest nations, landmass-wise. It's tiny. It's extremely rich, though. It's at the base of France, right on the edge of the Mediterranean. But as you're down by the ocean, or down by the Mediterranean, and there's tons and tons of yachts and boats, there's something that towers above the rest of the city. There's a cliff that goes way up, and this is where the castle in Monaco is. And when you stand at the edge of this castle in Monaco, you're able to look down the sheer cliffs and look straight into the bay and see the bottom of the water. And you can imagine that these cliffs have been there for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. This castle has been there for centuries and centuries and centuries. And no matter how much the waves of the Mediterranean Sea might bash against those cliffs, the castle sits on top laughing. Can't be moved. It's a fortress. And in castles, what do? Well, there's a palace in that castle, and around that castle there's holes in the walls where archers would be able to shoot down on the enemies, and cannons around the walls. Now they're all decorative, but it's still there. That was your refuge. That was your stronghold. That's where the people in the city, if the attack came, they would run up the path and they would go into the up the cliff and they would go into the stronghold and they would fortify it. And there they knew there was safety, no matter what political enemy might come. And here in Psalm 46, we hear of an even better stronghold, a better fortress, a better refuge. God Himself is our refuge. And so your call tonight is indeed to take refuge in your God. Take refuge in your God. First, we must take refuge in God the Creator. Take refuge in God the Creator. Look with me at verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And we don't know much about oceans here in Beaver Falls, right? I mean, we might say the Great Beaver River or the Great Ohio River, but it's not really a foaming river, is it? But when I grew up in Southern California and the Pacific Ocean was there, you knew what roaring, foaming waters looked like. And I remember one day, I used to surf when I was in college, and we used to go to this little beach. It had cute little waves. They were only about 3 feet high, and I thought, all right, this is pretty fun. But then my friend Bryant one day said, hey, there's supposed to be some really good waves down by San Diego, an area called Oceanside. And I thought, oh, great. That sounds like fun. These waves were 3 times bigger than I had ever been in before. They were 9-foot waves. And I remember going out, and normally I could get past the break pretty quickly. But when the waves are that big, when the sea seems as if it has a personal vengeance against you and it's going to fight you, it's as if every time I went under the waves and I would come up, another wave would crash down upon me and I would get sucked back under and I couldn't get past the waves. And I knew just to the right there were massive rocks, a jetty that went out. And if I got too close to those rocks, this water would throw me upon the rocks and I would be dead. And you could hear when the water crashed against the rocks, a deafening crash, and you could see the waves fly up into the air when they crashed against the rocks. But the rocks didn't move. And see, just like almost every other beach, if you walk long enough along most sandy beaches that are on a continent, you'll eventually get to cliffs. And those cliffs act as a barrier to the sea. Here and no further. These are the cliffs that the Lord rose up out of the ground. This is what we find ourselves in Psalm 46. Though its waters roar and foam, the mountains quake at a swelling pride, although the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Could you imagine what it would be like? The Israelites knew this. In the area of Palestine, there's only one harbor. The rest of the coastline is cliffs and rocks that go into the sea. And if all they knew their entire lives were these cliffs could stand up against the waves, against the raging waters of the Mediterranean Sea, and all of a sudden you saw the cliffs start crashing into the hearts of the sea. Everything firm that they would know in their lives, gone. They would still have a stronger refuge because their refuge would be in the God who created those cliffs, who controlled the seas. In your own life, what are the most solid things in your own life that you know that could never be swept away? Oftentimes when I talk to young people who lose a grandparent or a parent, all of a sudden, everything they know is questioned because their rock is gone. They put their faith, their trust, or what they knew about the world in someone instead of the one. Who are you putting your trust in? What happens when your 401k disappears? What happens when your house goes up in flames? What happens when your family dies in a car accident? Do you still have a stronghold? Do you still have something firm upon which you can say, this won't change? Indeed, we do. We do, and we don't look to the things of this world, but we look to the one who created this world, and specifically to Jesus Christ. John 1:3 tells us, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And Hebrews 1:3, the first part of the verse, Hebrews 1:3 tells us, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, is the one who upholds the universe by the words of his power. You have a refuge, you have a fortress, you have a stronghold, you have a creator who you can trust because he lives now. Jesus Christ must be your refuge because he is the creator. There's no natural forces of this world that will ever overcome him. It gets even better than that. Not only must you take refuge in God the Creator, but you must also take refuge in the God of armies. Take refuge in the God of armies. Look with me at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. See, there's a few different stanzas here in this psalm. There's verses 1 through 3 about the powerful forces of nature. And then there's verses 4 through 7 about nations fighting. And a city that stands and won't be moved. And in this we find in the midst of this turmoil where the nations make an uproar. This word, the nations make an uproar. This is the same word, uproar, is the same word that the seas would make. The nations roar like the seas roar. The kingdoms totter like the mountains totter. These are parallels in the text that we're getting. But even when the nations are raging against the city of God, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. If you notice, verse 7, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is the covenant name for God, Yahweh. This is the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, Jacob, and David. This is the God of the covenant. And he is the Lord, the Yahweh, the God of hosts. Well, that's an old English word. Do we actually know what it means? Hosts, armies, legions, battalions. It is the God who determines the battle. Your Lord, your God, is the one who's not just kind of in charge, kind of knows what's going to happen. He's the one who controls the armies. That's what Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, he tells the Israelites this. When you go out to war against your enemies, and you see their horses, the Israelites weren't allowed to have horses, and when you see their chariots, the Israelites weren't allowed to have chariots, and an army larger than your own, well, humanly speaking, you're in deep trouble, right? There's a bigger army than yours, they got better weapons than yours, they have better armored tanks in yours. What are you going to do? You shall not be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord, for Yahweh your God, is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. See, God is the God who can destroy the armies of Pharaoh. God is the God who would destroy the armies of the Canaanites and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Moabites, and the Amorites, and the Hittites. He is the one who controls the armies. How often do we think of God that way, of being the God of the armies? See, we live in an age where there was a recent statistic. I can't remember if it was 1% or 3%, but only 1% to 3% of the American population has ever actually seen war. I mean, I was a sailor. I went out into the ocean, but I didn't see war. Soldiers who have seen people die. We don't know what that's like. But the Israelites did. They knew what it was like for a larger army to come and attack their cities. To come, and they would have to all gather up into up onto the hill, into the fortress, into the stronghold, into the refuge, into the city. And if you were a soldier and you would normally stand watch, you would stand on top of the wall looking out for the enemy. Normally, you would stand on the wall and be pretty boring. Right? This is the midnight watch. You would look up into the sky and you would see the stars. And you would just be waiting for the morning to come. Because you know the morning meant there was no enemy there. But the Israelites knew what it was like to have a guard stand watch on top of the wall. And where they could normally see the stars, the sky would be burning with amber. Because as they looked out, they would see the horizon dotted by campfires of the enemies. We know that because the king of Assyria came and fought against Jerusalem. And he came, and the story of this is in 2 Kings 19. And he comes with an army of over 185,000 warriors to conquer the city of Jerusalem. Imagine standing on the wall of a city, and all you can see is your enemy. 185,000 plus people waiting for the daybreak when they could come and slaughter you and your family. But the Lord is the Lord of armies. He is the one who has a host of soldiers, a battalion behind him. He sends one of his soldiers in that story. One angel. And that one soldier of the Lord destroys 185,000 Assyrian trained soldiers. And the Lord has a legion of the soldiers. He is the God not just of a soldier, he is the God of hosts. He's the Lord of armies. But remember who Jesus is in light of this. Do you remember the story of Jesus' birth? When Jesus is born, there's an angel who appears to the shepherds, right? And when the angel appears to the shepherds, the one angel tells them the message of the good news that a Savior has been born. But what happens just after that in Luke 2? Luke 2, 13 through 14 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased.'" There is a host, an army of angels that appears with the one angel to announce the birth of Jesus Christ and to give the Father glory. But even at Jesus's arrest, what happens? Do you remember that story? Where Jesus has come down from the mount and one of his disciples takes out a sword and he cuts off someone's ear. Matthew 26, 53. Jesus says to this man, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? See, Christian, you need to stop having a small view of who Jesus is. We don't call Jesus Lord because he's somehow just the Lord of our souls. See, we've minimized Jesus to being Jesus and me. A small Jesus who individually works with individual people. No, he is the Lord of hosts. His Father gives him 12 legions of angels. Is that how you think of Jesus? When you say, Lord Jesus, do you recognize that this is what you're calling him, that he's worthy of having 12 legions of angels who will do his bidding? Makes you wonder, maybe you should pray in Jesus' name. It's a powerful name. He is your refuge. He is your stronghold. Jesus Christ is your fortress. He commands the armies of his Father. That's more than just that. The text also tells us we are to take refuge in God Most High. Take refuge in God Most High. Look with me at verses 4 and 10. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. And then verse 10. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. What does it mean for God to be Most High? Or what does it mean for God to be exalted? What does that mean, Christian? It means that God is greater than any other. Is there something else in your life, theologically or practically, which you are holding up higher than God? Are you trusting in anything more strongly than you are clinging to God? Are you exalting anything higher than God? If so, crush that idol. God is higher than all authority. God is supreme. God is enthroned above absolutely everything else. There is no one greater than God. This is nothing new to you. But in light of that, God tells us, come here, I'll prove it to you. Come here, I'll prove it to you. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. See, God's going to bring peace, Christian. Our God, on the last day, is going to bring peace, but it is not because he will negotiate with the wicked. Our God is the God who is going to break the bow, who is going to snap the spear in two, who will burn the chariots with fire. Is that the God you hope in? Is that the God you hope in? Is that the God you worship? Is that the God you praise? Is that the God you have confidence in? It sure was Paul's confidence. That's why he could say, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of this good news, because this good news says that we have a refuge and that God will conquer his enemies. He will be exalted. He will be lifted high. He will be seen as supreme, because either we will lift him up or he'll kick in the knees of those who oppress him, and they will bow to him. This is what Psalm 2 is getting at. the rulers of this world will bow to him. God has proved that he is the Most High in the way he has defeated the Assyrians and all of his enemies. But most of all, the most powerful of enemies he has crushed. Jesus Christ, our Lord, defeated even death. Our greatest foe, our greatest enemy, he has conquered. And on your deathbed, when you face that last temptation, where will your refuge be? When the great abyss of eternity faces you, and it is either an eternity that wells up in your heart filled with fear and dread because you don't know what's going to happen, or will you have a refuge that you will be able to run to Christ because he has saved you and he has brought you into his kingdom of righteousness, and his city cannot be moved? Your last point, Christian, is you must take refuge in Jesus Christ. You must take refuge in Jesus Christ. Open with me to Philippians chapter 2. Please, I encourage you, actually flip in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, we'll be starting our reading at verse 5. This can be found on page 1175 of your pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Have this attitude among yourself, which also was in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and has been given a name above every name and has been highly exalted, and every knee will bow to him. Are you? Are you? Are you bowing the knee to the risen Lord, exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus Christ? Are you bowing to him? Is he your hope? Is he your salvation? Is he your refuge? He must be. For those of you who, that is the truth, there's a glorious promise of this. In Revelation 21, Revelation 21, verses 23 through 35. Is describing a city. This is a heavenly city, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the King of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no light, no night there, the gates will never be closed. See, brothers and sisters, cities are surrounded by walls. And those walls have a gate. And those gates are meant to be closed at the night, to keep danger away. But in the city of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is light, and there is no night there. And the gates are open because there is no more foe. There's no need of protection anymore. God is in that city, and you are invited in to drink deeply from that river which flows from it, to drink from life, and to have security and rest for your soul. Are you resting in the Lamb who is the light of the city of God? Are you resting in Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? Is He the one who at the last day you will say, "Lord, I rest in You, for You're my stronghold. You're my fortress. I don't need to fear death. I don't need to fear sin. I don't need to fear the wages of sin, because You've paid that price. You fought that battle, and You've won it. Your eternal refuge, Your fortress, Your stronghold, Christian, no matter in this life or in the life to come, forever, is in the Lamb, is in the Son of God. Cling to Him. Take refuge in Him. There is nothing in this life which can overcome you. Nothing in this created world. No principality of this world, no nation, nothing which will overcome Him, your Savior, Jesus Christ, your refuge. Go to Him. Rest in Him. Cling in Him. Take refuge in your God. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank You for Jesus Christ. Father, lead us to Him. Every day, every waking moment, Lord, we pray that we would have a strong refuge, a security. We thank You, Lord, for giving us such a wonderful promise. Lord, let us know it in the very depths of our souls. Work it in us, we pray, by the power of Your Spirit, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.